You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible Week International. Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Day 10. We're continuing in the book of Genesis. We see God coming through on one of the big promises for Abraham, and he does this through his wife, Sarah. But we also see Abraham being tested. Think about the most valuable thing you have in your heart. Just think, just for a moment. What's the one thing you value with all your heart? And just imagine if God said, you know that thing that you love? Would you give it up for me? And that's basically what he's asking Abraham to do. So what will Abraham's response be? And we're also continuing in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew. We now see Jesus do amazing miracles. But the one miracle that really upsets the teachers of the law is the miracle of forgiveness. Because if Jesus can forgive sins, then he's not just a wizard or a magician. That would mean he truly is the Son of God. And when this so-called Son of God who can forgive sins decides to have dinner with the local sinners, that really confuses the religious people. I mean, think about it. If Jesus were coming to your city, who would be at the dinner? Don't you think it would be all the religious leaders? Maybe one from each denomination? What would it be like on the night that Jesus, this so-called Son of God, is having dinner at the biker bar? That makes no sense to the religious people. But Jesus has an answer for that. You'll have to stay with us to find out. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry, and you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. Genesis chapter 21. God blesses Sarah with a child. The Lord did not forget what he said he would do for Sarah. He blessed her as he had promised Abraham he would. Sarah became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham, who was already an old man. This happened at the exact time God had said it would. Abraham named his son Isaac. Then he did what God commanded and circumcised Isaac when he was 8 days old. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah said,
God has used me to make people laugh. Everyone who hears about this will laugh at me. No one thought I would ever be able to have Abraham's child. But now, even though Abraham's old, I've given him a son.
Isaac continued to grow, and soon he was old enough to eat food instead of his mother's milk. Abraham gave a big party to celebrate this day. Hagar and Ishmael sent away. Ishmael, Abraham's son by Hagar the Egyptian, was there, and Sarah saw him laughing. Sarah said to Abraham,
"Tell that slave woman and her son to go away. My son Isaac must get everything you own when you die. I don't want that slave woman's son to get any part of your wealth."
This made Abraham very unhappy because he was worried about what would happen to his son Ishmael. But God said to Abraham,
"Don't worry about the boy and the slave woman. Do what Sarah wants. Your descendants will come through Isaac. But I will also bless the son of your slave woman. He is your son. So I will make sure his family also becomes a great nation."
Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a leather bag of water and gave them to Hagar. He helped her tie these things on her back and sent her away with the boy. From there, she wandered around in the desert of Beersheba. Later, when all their water was gone, Hagar left her son in the shade of a bush. She walked away and sat down where she could not see him. She did not want to watch him die. And as she sat there, she began to cry. God heard the boy crying, and God's angel called to Hagar from heaven. He said,
"What's wrong, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying. Go and get your boy and comfort him. I will make sure his descendants become a great nation."
Then God showed Hagar a well of water. So she went to the well, filled her bag with water, and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an expert hunter with his bow and arrows. He lived in the desert of Paran, and his mother found a wife for him from Egypt. An agreement between Abraham and Abimelech. One day, King Abimelech went with Phicol, his army commander, to see Abraham. Abimelech said to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do, so I must know I can always trust you. Make a promise to me here before God that you will never do anything to hurt me, my children, or any of my descendants. I have been loyal to you, so promise that you will be loyal to me and to this country where you have been living as a guest." Abraham replied,
"Oh, very well. I promise to be loyal to you."
Then Abraham complained to Abimelech because his servants had taken over a well Abraham had dug. Abimelech said,
"Today is the first time I have heard about this. You never mentioned it before. I do not know who did this."
Abraham brought some of his sheep and cattle and offered them to the king. Then the two men made an agreement to be loyal to each other. Then Abraham chose 7 female lambs from his flock and separated them from the other animals. Abimelech asked Abraham,
"Why do you put these 7 lambs here by themselves?"
Abraham answered,
"I offer you these 7 lambs. By accepting them, you agree I am the one who dug that well."
Abraham named that place Beersheba, because that's where Abraham and Abimelech made a promise to each other with an oath. So they made their agreement at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, his army commander, went back to their home in the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a special tree at Beersheba. There he worshiped the Lord, the God who lives forever. And Abraham stayed a long time in the land of the Philistines. Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, God decided to test Abraham's faith. He called out,
"Abraham!"
Abraham answered,
Here I am,"
God said.
"Get your son Isaac, your only son, the one you love so much. Take him to the land of Moriah. I will show you a mountain there where I want you to kill him. Offer him as a burnt offering to me."
So Abraham got up early the next morning. He cut some wood to build a fire for the burnt offering and loaded his donkey. He took with him 2 young servants and his son Isaac. Together they began the journey to the place God told him to go. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He told his servants,
"Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go up there and worship. Then we will come back here."
Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and put it on the shoulders of his son Isaac to carry. He himself carried the burning coals and the knife he would use. As they walked along together, Isaac said to Abraham,
"Father?"
Abraham answered,
"Yes, son?"
Isaac said,
"We have the wood and the coals to start the fire. But where is the animal for the burnt offering?"
Abraham answered,
"God himself is providing the animal for the offering, my son."
So the two of them kept on walking. When they came to the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar. He carefully laid the wood on the altar, and he tied up his son Isaac and laid him on top of the wood. Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven,
"Abraham! Abraham!"
Abraham answered,
"Here I am."
the angel said.
Do not hurt the boy or harm him in any way. Now I know that you have complete respect for me, your God. I see that you are ready to kill your son, your only son, for me.
Abraham looked up and saw a ram with its horns caught in a bush. So he got the ram and offered it in place of his son as a burnt offering to God. So Abraham named that place, The Lord Provides. Even today, people say,
On the mountain of the Lord, he will provide what we need.
The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time. The Lord says,
You were willing to offer your only son to me. Because you have done this, I make this promise to you. As surely as I live, I will bless you greatly. I will give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky or grains of sand on the seashore. And your descendants will defeat their enemies and take control of their cities. It will be through your family that all the nations on earth will find blessings. I will make this happen because you have obeyed me.
Then Abraham took Isaac and went back to his servants. They all traveled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. Abraham received news from home. One day, someone came with a message for Abraham. They told him that his brother Nahor now had many sons by his wife Milcah. The first son was named Uz. The second was named Buz. The third was Kemuel, who later became the father of Aram. Then there was Kesed, Hazo, Pildash, Jidlaf, and Bethuel. Bethuel later became the father of Rebekah. These are the 8 sons that Abraham's brother Nahor had from his wife Milcah. Nahor also had 4 other sons from his slave woman Reuemah. These sons were Teba, Gaham, Tahash, and Maaca. Genesis chapter 23. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died in the city of Kiriath Arba, also known as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. Abraham cried loudly by her side in sorrow over her death. Then he got up and went to talk to the Hittites. He said,
I am not a citizen in your country. I only live here as an immigrant, and I do not own any land I can use for a grave. Please, let me buy some land so I can bury my wife properly.
The Hittites answered Abraham,
Sir, listen to us. You are a great leader here. You should bury your dead in the best burial place we have. Just choose the place you want, and none of us will stop you from burying your wife there.
Abraham got up and bowed with respect to these Hittites. He said to them,
If you really want to help me bury my dead wife, speak to Zohar's son Ephron for me. I would like to buy the cave at Machpelah, which belongs to Ephron. It is at the end of this field. Ask him to sell it to me as a burial place for my family. I will pay him the full price, and you can be witnesses of our agreement.
Now Ephron was sitting there among the other Hittites who had gathered at the city gate. He spoke up so that everyone could hear. He said to Abraham,
Sir, please hear what I have to say. I do not want to sell you the cave by itself. I want you to have the whole field, including the cave. Here, in front of my people, I am offering it to you. Take it so that you can bury your wife.
Abraham again bowed down in respect to the Hittites. He spoke to Ephron so that everyone could hear.
Please consider this. I will buy the field, and I will give you the full price for it. Accept this offer so I can bury my wife.
Ephron answered Abraham,
Sir, please hear what I say. That field is not worth more than 400 pieces of silver. But of course, The price is not important. It means nothing to men like you and me. Take the land and bury your wife.
Abraham agreed to the price Ephron had mentioned in front of everyone there. He gave him 400 pieces of silver, following the standard weight used by merchants. So Abraham became the owner of Ephron's field that was at Machpelah, near Mamre. The field, with all its trees, and the cave there became Abraham's legal property. All the Hittites who had gathered at the city gate were witnesses of this agreement between Ephron and Abraham. Abraham buried his wife Sarah in that cave at Machpelah near Mamre, Hebron, in the land of Canaan. The cave was in the field Abraham bought from the Hittites. It became his property to use as a burial place. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 34. Jesus got into a boat, and his followers went with him. After the boat left the shore, a very bad storm began on the lake. The waves covered the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The followers went to him and woke him. They said,
"Lord, save us! We will drown!"
Jesus answered, "Why are you afraid? You don't have enough faith." Then he stood up and gave a command to the wind and the water. The wind stopped, and the lake became very calm. The men were amazed. They said,
"What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the water obey him."
Jesus arrived at the other side of the lake in the area where the Gadarene people lived. There, two men who had demons inside them came to him. They lived in the burial caves and were so dangerous that no one could use the road by those caves. They came to Jesus and shouted,
"Why do you want with me, Son of God? Did you come here to punish us before the right time?"
In the distance, there was a large herd of pigs feeding. The demons begged Jesus,
"If you make us leave these men, please send us into that herd of pigs."
Jesus said to them, "Go!" So the demons left the men and went into the pigs. Then the whole herd of pigs ran down the hill into the lake, and all were drowned. The men who had the work of caring for the pigs ran away. They went into town and told the people everything that had happened, especially about the men with the demons. Then the whole town went out to see Jesus. When the people saw him, they begged him to leave their area.
Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Jesus got into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a man who was paralyzed and was lying on a mat. When Jesus saw how much faith these people had, he said to the paralyzed man, "Young man, you will be glad to hear that your sins are forgiven." Some of the teachers of the law heard what Jesus said. They said to themselves,
"It is an insult to God for this man to say that."
Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he said, "Why do you have such evil thoughts? Maybe you were thinking it was easy for me to say your sins are forgiven, because no one could see whether it happened or not. But what if I say to him, 'Stand up and walk'? Then if it happens, you will know that I, as the Son of Man, have power on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Stand up, take your mat, and go home." The man stood up and went home. When the people saw this, they were amazed. They praised God for letting someone have such power. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the place for collecting taxes. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So he got up and went with Jesus. Later, Jesus was having a meal at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and others with bad reputations came and ate with him and his close followers.
The Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with these people. They asked his followers,
"Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and other sinners?"
Jesus heard them say this, so he said to them, "Sick people are the ones who need a doctor, not those who are healthy. You need to go and learn what this scripture means. I don't want animal sacrifices. I want you to show kindness to people. I came to ask sinners to join me, not those who do everything right." Psalm chapter 7, verses 10 through 17. God helps people who want to do right, so he will protect me. God is a good judge. He always condemns evil. If the wicked will not change, then God is ready to punish them. He has prepared his deadly weapons. His sword is sharp. His bow is strong, drawn back, and ready to shoot its flaming arrow. Look how the wicked think of ways to do evil. They are pregnant with hurtful plans and give birth to lies. They dig a pit to trap others, but they are the ones who will fall into it. The trouble they cause will come back on them. They plan harm for others, but they are the ones who will be hurt. I praise the Lord because he is good. I praise the name of the Lord Most High. Thank you, everyone. That was day number 10. We'll see you in day number 11, where Abraham has to play matchmaker for his son, now much older, where the Bible suddenly becomes the dating channel. And in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is going around healing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses, and then he sees a crowd of people, and his reaction to this crowd intrigues his followers. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.